12. Book of Mark, chapter number 12. And thought's kind of been on my heart the last several weeks, and God's been really dealing with me on it. And tonight, the thought I want to get across is how much do we give to God? And I'm not talking about nickels and dimes. I'm talking about how much of our substance, of our life, of our time, of what we have, what God has given us, how much of it do we give back to Him? Mark in chapter number 12, we're going to begin in verse number 41. Mark chapter number 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you bestowed upon us even this day. Lord, I pray you'd help us so we could be thankful and we could be mindful of where our blessings come from. God, tonight as we open your word, I pray that you would allow us to do so with open hearts. Lord, most of all, that we could receive what you have to say to us tonight through your word, through your Holy Spirit. God, help us as we leave this place tonight, God, that we could be strengthened, that we could be encouraged. Most of all, Lord, that we could draw closer in our relationship with you each and every day. If there be one lost among us this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart. Allow them to give not only of what they have, God, allow them to give their soul over to you even this night. To take it, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior before it be everlasting too late. Forgive us if we fail you. Thank you most of all for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. And the Bible talks a lot about giving, and Jesus don't really... all my life we were taught to give 10% of our money, right? Ain't that what we're taught? To give 10%. That's always been a good starting place. But tonight I want to go a little bit further than nickels and dimes. If we gave to God exactly what he gave to us, how much time will we spend with God every day? On the flip side of that, if God gave us exactly what we give him, what kind of trouble would we be in today?
Amen.
If throughout the day today we have neglected to pray, if the first time we picked up our Bible was to make it to church tonight, then we haven't given quite as much to God as maybe he desires. If the first time that we thought about studying, the first time that we thought about praying, the first time that we thought to thank God, if it was this afternoon or on the way to church or even after we got in the building, if the first time that we praised God today is whenever the piano player started playing, then today we have failed God. If we don't start our day thanking him for allowing us to wake up, then we have already messed up. If we don't praise him for the glorious God that he is, for the blessings he bestowed upon us, even before we make it to lunch, then we've already messed up. And I'm not saying that you have to break out into song on your way to work in the morning. I'm saying that God requires us to give back to him. And the book of Psalms says over and over again to do so with praise, with worship. And only do it if he's a God worth praising. And I serve a God that's worth praising. Jesus said this widow here gave, even though she was in want, in verse 44. But she of her want did cast in all she had. She gave all that she had to Jesus. And Jesus here was trying to make an example, no doubt. And it's here in the Bible so that we can use it. Of her money, she gave all that she had. Yes, God told us to give to him. He told us to support the church. He told us to support missionaries. He told us to support the poor, the widows. He told us to support God's people. But he also told us to give him our time. He also told us to go so much more than throwing dollar bills into the offering plate or donating to missions and what have you. He told us to give him our life as well. Whenever we're saved, we surrender our heart over to Jesus. That's what we do. Whenever we believe in him, we are putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for all eternity. But whenever we're saved, do we give over our heart to God? Or do we still try to hold a little bit back? Do we give everything to him? Or do we give a little bit to him and keep a little bit for ourselves? A lot of times, and especially you can see it at the adult table. Whenever kids go get ice cream before the adult hand the kid their ice cream cone, they'll take a lick off of it, or they'll take a spoonful. That's taxes. Sure is. They take a little bit before they give it to their kids. God didn't take anything whenever he gives to us. He didn't tax at all. I know all of you here understand. The first time I ever got a job, I looked at my paycheck, and it was insane how much I wasn't getting. I worked 3/4 of my day just to pay the government. God don't tax us whenever he gives to us. God don't hold back from us. And yet so many times we hold back from him. We don't give our all to him. There are commissions and commandments in the Bible, and I preach on a lot the commissions that Jesus gave. And one is to go into the world, but the other is in 2 Corinthians. Excuse me, that's in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Paul told us that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. Yes, God asks us to support the church, but God wants our bodies. God wants us to be an example. This morning we had a Bible club meeting at Varnado where I teach. We recently started a Bible club, and we talked about having a good name this morning and how a good name, a good reputation is important. Not because we want people to like me, because I don't care if people like me. I care what people see in me because I represent God. There's a very, very fine line between being a people pleaser and being a God pleaser. Whenever we please people, we do what we can to make people like us. And that's not always a bad thing because we represent God. And if people don't like us, if I come off as a prickly person, or in the Bible they came off as hypocrites, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even though that they knew the law, they came off as hypocrites because they did not live the law. They say one thing and do another. If I come off as a prickly person, if I come off as someone who is hard to get along with, as someone who is mean, as someone who is cruel, who is someone who does not live the love of Jesus Christ, then my testimony will not hold water. My testimony will mean less and less the lower my reputation becomes. But if I'm a God pleaser, I'm going to maintain a good name, not for me, but for him. That's what it's about. You see t-shirts and stickers on the back of cars. And when I was in college, we met early in the mornings for Bible study once a week, some of the guys. And one of our main kind of themes was he is greater than I. Big G, little me. Big God, little me. And whenever we realize that it's more about him and less about us, that's when we begin to be able to serve him more. That's whenever we begin to live for him more. That's whenever we're able to give to him more. Romans 12 and chapter 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That is our reasonable service. Amen. God didn't hold anything back from us. He gave us his only son. He gave us all that he had. He judged him for me and for you. He gave everything for a world that don't appreciate him. For a world who laughs at him. For a world who puts billboards up saying he don't exist. Jesus died for them. God gave his son up for them. God gave his son up for us. So what do we give back to him? How many times today do we tell someone else about Jesus? How many opportunities did we get? You start watching kids, and Bailey's to that point now that everything you do, she does. And my favorite thing is as funny as I'll get out. My favorite thing to do with it is that she'll be sitting there now, and then guess what she does? She commences to blow in bubbles. That's what she does. If you shake your head real hard, she'll start shaking her head real hard. Daddy would clear her throat, and she would start fake coughing. Whatever you did, she did. She's always watching. She's always paying attention. You can't get away from them. And most of you that's raised kids, you understand that those kids watch. And what's worse, those kids repeat everything. They do. They're always paying attention. What are they seeing? This world is always paying attention. What are they seeing? Throughout my day today, the people I came in contact with, did they see Jesus? Or did they see a hypocrite? The two biggest words that you find as a math teacher, and I've kind of become a math teacher this year, is I can tell you that 2 plus 3 equals 9. I can write it on the whiteboard. I can put the 2 at the top, the 3 at the bottom, put the plus sign, draw a line, and put 9 underneath it. And I can sit here and I can tell you that that is right. That is absolutely perfect. That is the way you're supposed to do it. But I can't prove it. Until I prove it, I'm not right. I can tell you 2 plus 3 equals 5. But until I prove it, I'm not right. In math, if you don't prove it, it's just as good as having the wrong answer. And being a Christian, if you don't prove it, it's referred to as being saved so as by fire. Being saved, but all your works are going to be burned up because we have nothing left, because we haven't lived for God, because instead of laying up treasures in heaven, instead of investing in that account in the sky, instead of investing in God, we invest in the things of this world. You know how quick money disappears? Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And it don't matter how much you got. It don't matter how much you accumulate. It don't matter how big of a raise you got. That money's going to disappear quick. How long does a kind word last? How long does an introduction to Christ last? How long does it last whenever you tell someone you're praying for them? That'll stick with those people forever. God didn't say that we would always get results. God didn't say that we would go out in this world and that we would win everybody to Jesus. He didn't tell us to. He didn't tell us to go save people. He didn't tell us to go make sure that they believe in Jesus before they leave. He told us to go and be a witness. He told us to plant the seed and He would give the increase. He told us to be a witness, to go, to preach, to teach. That's what He told us to do. Sometimes we may not get a response. Sometimes we may get a bad response, a poor response. But is that supposed to stop us from going? If you go and you plant 35 watermelon seeds and only 31 of them come up, are you going to scratch the whole row? Are you going to be glad those 31 come up and just not worry about the 4 that didn't? If you plant a whole row of watermelons and one comes up, if you witness to people for years and years and years, and one person comes to Christ. The song, and Miss Elfie sang it at Harmony Sunday, and I love the song. It's called Just One More Soul. And the song goes, if just one more soul would walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. And that's what we're about. If we're going to call ourselves a Christian, we're worried about that one more soul. We're worried about that one person. We're worried about that one instance in our life that we prove to someone we're a Christian. It's not always our words. You know what speaks louder than words? Actions. I can tell you all day that I'm awesome at basketball. But if I go out there and I grab the basketball and I start shooting granny shots and I miss the goal the first 3 shots, you're going to say you're crazy. Words don't carry water. Actions do. If the world saw us today and we got to go back and you see these biographies and autobiographies on TV, and it's like watching this person's life. If we were to watch our life, how many instances do we prove that we're a Christian? In school, whenever you get a grade, you get a fraction. The top number is how many points that you got correct. The bottom number is how many opportunities you had, how many points that you could have gotten. If God were keeping score that way on our life today, what would our grade look like? Would it be 1 out of 100? 1 out of 200? Let's say we had a really good day. Is it 10 out of 100? Because if all we're giving to God is a couple hours on Sunday and a couple hours on Wednesday, we're not giving God very much. Matter of fact, if you take that 10% that we were talking about before, you take that 10% and you calculate it into time, it adds up significantly. 10% of our day, no less, should be spent with God. 20, 30, 40% of our day, no less, should be spent with God. I don't have to stop everything that I'm doing to spend time with God. I don't have to stop everything I'm doing to live a life for God. I have to allow the love of Jesus to live through me. I have to allow myself to be used of God. And that's what the woman here, she gave all that she had. The rich men came and they gave out of their abundance. It didn't hurt them. It's pocket change. And you hear it all the time. These rich folks, whenever they make a $1 million donation to such and such, well, whoop-de-doo, they got it. Giving out of our abundance whenever we have time, whenever we have extra. Well, I'll read my Bible if I have time at the end of the day. That's giving out of abundance. God may not let us maintain that abundance if we don't give to Him. We don't know how much time we have left. We don't know how many more opportunities we have to spread the word, to be a witness of the gospel. And if we continue to throw opportunities away, that is me saying that God owes me to give me another opportunity. I saw on a sign one day, I think it may have been when I was in college, I don't remember. It may not have been, now that I think about it. I don't know. Anyway, the sign said that procrastination is you believing that God owes you a chance to do what tomorrow what you had a chance to do today. That is what procrastination is. It's thinking that God owes me tomorrow where I can get this done. God don't owe me anything. He's already given me everything. I owe God. How much do I give back to Him? Turn over to 2 Corinthians, if you would, in chapter number 9. Book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 9, Paul says, every man, as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. If I purpose in my heart that I'm gonna read and study if I have time at the end of the day today, am I giving to God of my abundance, or am I giving to God of my want? What does it mean if we give up something for God? That means that we value Him more than that, right? What does it mean if we choose to watch TV or Netflix, Hulu, if we choose to play on Facebook or whatever it may be, rather than spend time with God? What does it mean if throughout our whole day, 24 hours, we can't carve out a few minutes to read and to study? We can't carve out a few minutes to pray? That connection between us and God is a two-way street. And if the only time that we talk to God is on Sundays and Wednesdays, then we're in bad shape. If the only time, and if you don't believe me, try it. If you have a significant other, a spouse, somebody that lives with you, don't talk to them for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday till you get to church. And it is hard. It is difficult. My wife and I got mad at each other, and we've not talked to each other for a few hours before, but never days. So how does God feel whenever we don't talk to Him for days? How does He feel whenever we don't open His Word and allow Him to speak to us for days? And I know some of us may be thinking, well, that may be easier than the preacher's making it out to be. Maybe. But life's not easy whenever you don't talk to each other. Life's not easy whenever we don't talk to God, whenever we don't give Him that time, whenever we don't give Him that opportunity, whenever we put everything else in this world before Him. You know what that's called? That's called idolatry. Whenever we allow everything else in this world to come before God, that is called idolatry. Football is great until it comes before God. Fishing is wonderful until it comes before God. Catching is better until it comes before God. Hunting, working, whatever it may be, is great until it comes before God. God said to present your bodies to me, a living sacrifice. To present means to give up, to show, to stand there and to give. Often that word is associated with a gift. How often do we give back to God? Every man according to his purpose in our heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. How many times in our life do we get to the point that something has happened to us, and God forbid it would happen today, but something has happened to us. Family member sick. Something's happened at work. Big decision we have to make in our life. And we talk to everybody else about it. We go to our parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, families, bosses, whoever it may be. And we talk to them and we ask them, hey, would you give me some advice? And then whenever it's all over, we'll come and we'll say, well, I've done everything else. Now I'm going to pray about it. Ain't that smooth backwards? I've done everything else. Now I'm going to pray about it. There's nothing else to do but pray. Wrong. Should have started the prayer the first time. Should have began there. But so many times we get to the point that we don't purpose in our heart to put God first. Daniel did. Look where it got him. Joseph did. Look where it got him. The book of Psalms says, blessed. Blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed if we go to God first. We are blessed if we focus on Him first. We are blessed if we give time to Him, not grudgingly. If somebody has to drag us to church and we're a saved individual, then we're in trouble. Because we should long to go to church. We should long together with other believers. We should desire to hear God's word, to sing praises to Him. And not of necessity. When things get bad, if that's the first time we're praying, then we're in bad shape. Whenever, we can all relate to this. Ida came through on a Sunday. How many people could find gas on Monday? Or better yet, a generator. You know, those things were hard to come by. Because we waited till Monday after the hurricane to go find one. Because we waited till Tuesday after the hurricane to try to find gasoline. If we wait to the last minute, then we're already in trouble. God said, spend time with me first. God said, give to me first. Flip over, if you would, to Luke in chapter 6. Be the last place we try to go. I think it's Luke. Luke. Yep, that's it. Luke in chapter 6, verse number 38. Luke in chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given to you. That would be good enough if God stopped right there. If Jesus would have just ended that sentence right there, that would have been good enough. Because that's a promise straight from the mouth of Jesus. Luke 6 and 38 says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God will give to us so much more than we give back to Him. God has already given us more than we could ever repay. He continues to day after day. If God never did anything else for us right now, if He never did anything else for us, He would have already given us more than we can ever give back to Him. And He don't ask us to repay our debt. He don't. It's already paid for. He don't ask us to repay. He asks us to give of what we have. To give of what we can. To give of what He has given us. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. More than you have ever given. More than you have ever bestowed. More than you have ever even thought about giving. God will give back. God will give it all to you. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. That goes back to that same verse in Corinthians. That is what we purpose in our heart. If we give it grudgingly, if we give our time, if we say, well, I guess we got to pray. Let's pray. And we make it a 4-second prayer that we didn't want to pray in the first place. You think it hits the sheetrock and don't go any further? I don't know. But I get upset whenever my wife texts me back the letter K. Because that's not a word. And I feel like I'm being blown off. Not to mention that that's how you respond to things on a watch. Or the thumbs up. I'm saying that one a lot. But that's not a conversation. That's a period, maybe, at best. That's not giving. That's not communicating. That's not giving back. Whenever we give to God grudgingly, whenever we give to God because we don't want to, He's going to give back to us the same way. But whenever we give to Him, of all that we have. Whenever we dedicate our life to Him, whenever we allow Him to use us all day, every day, then He'll bless us. Then He'll take care of us. Then He will allow our cup to overflow. Isn't that what the psalmist said? My cup runneth over. God has taken care of us far beyond what we ever deserve, and He'll continue to. And all He asks in return is that we give back to Him, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Throughout the week, no doubt we're already through half of the week. If we look back Sunday to now, did we give Monday, Tuesday, and up until right now, today, did we give it to God? Did we tell someone about Jesus? Did we live a life that shows that there's something different about me? That I have the Holy Spirit living within me? Is that what my life has shown this week? Or has my life been a testament of the unrighteous? Has my life been one of a hypocrite? We have a second half of a week coming up this week. I like to challenge each and every one, including myself. Allow God to use it. Allow God to use my life. He can. People are watching. We're not required to make the seed grow. We're required to plant it. This week, let's plant seeds. Let's live a life for Christ. Let's give back to God just as He has given to us. While we have a verse of a song, we'd like to ask for a verse of invitation if we could. Someone would have something on their heart.